Do you like an evaluation? Anybody like to be evaluated? You like an evaluation. What do you like about evaluation? Okay. For you, it's a way to know if I'm doing it right. Okay. How about the rest of you? Do you like evaluations?
Yes and no.
Yes and no. Okay. Real decisive there. Tell us the yes part.
Well, yes, when you're doing something good, you
okay.
Bask in it.
You, when you're doing something good, you bask in it, okay?
But, if you have questions about it, you have some fear in your heart.
If you have questions about it, you have fear in your heart. So if your boss comes to you or somebody, whatever position, says, well, I want to come and have an evaluation of you. We're going to do a yearly evaluation of your performance. What do you think?
Great.
Go ahead.
As a teacher, I want to know where my kids are.
Okay.
And evaluation is very important to me in that sense. Because it not only helps them, but it helps me to know which direction I need to go in. And sometimes I need to stop and pause and rethink how I'm doing things. So it does help.
So when you're giving, quote, grades, evaluations, you use it as something to help you to know if you need to do something different.
Exactly.
Okay. Go ahead.
At work, we have to do a self-evaluation, and then our supervisor does our evaluation, mm-hmm. and you know, kind of base it on our self-evaluation. The supervisory evaluation, I like. Self-evaluation is a lot more difficult.
Okay, that's an interesting point. Self-evaluation is more difficult. Why is that, you think?
I tend to be very hard on myself.
Okay, you tend to be hard on yourself and more critical of yourself.
Yeah, also you don't want to have the appearance of being flattering. Yeah.
Arrogant. Okay. So you've been in a new job for what, 7 months? Your boss comes and he comes and says, you ever tell you we're going to evaluate how you're...
Yeah, I've been evaluated twice.
Twice, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a... It's pretty, you know, unnerving.
Pretty unnerving. Okay, go ahead.
It seems like in the last 10 to 15 years, the word evaluation has really taken a turn. And mm-hmm. part of that, I think, was when corporations, even within the Adventist Church Corporation, started inviting in outside companies to evaluate the employees. And most of the time, that evaluation meant that jobs were going to be lost.
Okay, so we've now put evaluations with job performance, whether you're going to lose your job, keep your job, get a raise, not get a raise, whether you have to try harder. Go ahead, you were going to hit something.
One of the challenges for evaluation is the very fact that nobody can be impartial.
Okay. So in evaluation, there's always this recognition that there's some subjective parts of it. Okay.
And if you like a person, and this is another factor,
mm-hmm.
if you like a person, all of their deeds, good or bad, are painted with a lighter color.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like a person, all of their deeds, good or bad, are painted with a darker
mm-hmm.
color.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, the evaluation to me is a reminder that everybody sees things differently. Everybody has their own unique perspective.
Mm-hmm.
As some of you all know, I lost my job on March the 1st, and I've been with that company 4.5 years, and I've never had one evaluation the whole time.
Okay.
but then they came up and said, you lost your job. It's no fault of yours. We appreciate everything you did, you know. So it's like, oh, okay, what could I have done differently or not? And it's like, there's nothing I really could have done differently according to them, but according to me, maybe there was, you know. So everybody has their own perspective on things.
Interesting. That's an interesting thing. So they walk up to you and say, well, we're going to not have you work here anymore, but there's really nothing else. You've done everything we've asked you to do, and we're pleased with your work, but we just can't keep you.
Yeah.
You're finished.
You're finished.
There's an evaluation that one of our friends of mine at work had, and it was a different evaluation. She lost like 7 employees. And so that thing, other people, why are you losing employees? It has to be your management. Mm-hmm. She goes, well, no, they're getting $5-6 bucks more an hour at a place across the street.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not a reason for them to quit. They actually put her through classes on how to keep them to stay. The evaluation for her really wasn't her evaluation. Why is it they're quitting?
Mm-hmm.
She said it was the weirdest evaluation she's ever had.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the lesson tonight. Today is about evaluating our witness. And I think it's important to look at evaluation. One time I was working as a therapist in for another agency, part-time, and the man in charge, which is kind of an interesting dynamic because I have a PhD and he was a master level. We both the same licensure, and he was going to give me an evaluation, which, you know, I'm always open to feedback, like to hear it. So we went through the feedback and come on in. We went through the process, and he said right up front, well, what I have to give my full-time people higher valuations because they get pays from it. It does not going to affect any about your pay. You know, you paid so much, blah, blah, blah. And he checked on it. One point, he put professionalism. He marked me down to professionalism. I said, well, tell me why you marked me down that professionalism. He said, well, your paperwork, you sometimes lag in getting it done. I said, yes, I do. You're right. That's one of my struggles is getting paperwork done, getting all the charts taken care of and everything. But I said, I'm not going to sign that evaluation. I'm not going to sign because I don't think that's professionalism. Professionalism, how you deal with the client and the person, in my opinion. So therefore, you know, if you're going to mark me down there, because this is going in my record. He said, well, he suddenly started to scramble. Well, what could we do? And I said, I don't know, but that's professionalism in my definition. Now, maybe he said, well, let me write down what you're being marked down. I said, okay, write down. Sometimes not getting charts taken care of on a timely manner or whatever. I said, good, I'll sign that. I said, I'm willing to acknowledge that that's not an area of strength for me. But you're going to put the word professionalism without defining it. I don't want that part of it. And, you know, that was a real significant experience for me because it was really clear. I want to be clear. I have no problem acknowledging that that's something I struggle with. But I'm not going to be marked for this when it's my definition is different. And I'm not sure who would look at that. This was 15, 20 years ago, so I'm not even sure, you know, what the deal is, if it ever affected. But to me, it was an important thing. And I think when we're talking about evaluating our witness, it's a real tricky thing. Go ahead, you were going to say something.
Well, Roger, you know, even evaluating our witness, it's like, what difference does the record even make? I guess that's one of the questions I've got. I mean, we're seeing people on the news, we see them every day. They've been in jail for 25 years, but they're innocent. And so if they've got this record, well, what difference does it make? I mean, what difference does a record really make? You know, we talk about these people and their credit scores. Well, you could be a millionaire with a credit score of 0. He can't go get a credit card.
That's true.
You know, so what difference does a record make?
It's hard to know. Hard to know. Go ahead.
For me, the record is important because it gives me a chance to compare progress over time.
Mm-hmm.
So we evaluate people every 3 months for their diabetes and their cholesterol
right.
and blood pressure. And it's not a you've done good or you've done bad every time. Mm-hmm. It's this is the trend.
Sure. Well, it's like Angela was talking about. For you as a physician, it points you to what do we need to adjust, what do we need to look at, what possibilities. Absolutely. Yeah, when my records, what they were marking me down were because I didn't stay after that session and write the notes right then, and they, you know, I was there once a week, so they didn't like it, the fact that I didn't get everything done before I left that day sometimes, so I saw so many clients. So, and I understood that because I'd come early and get them done. I got the records done. It wasn't in the timely manner that this individual. So that was, you know, and I had no problem acknowledging that. So evaluating our witness is important because why? Go ahead. You want to say something?
Really not getting them done right after the session, he probably wouldn't have been as professional as doing it the way he did.
Who knows? Well, I understood from his perspective. I don't see it here. Did somebody lose our offering envelope? Well, let's acknowledge what the wonderful thing we do have is a new thermostat in our room. You notice how cool it is in here? We have now have the controls on this side so we can set the temperature, so now I can wear a suit coat next week instead of... But anyway, I don't know what happened to that. I think we could pass this around and then for a Sabbath offering. Okay, what is the purpose, do you think, of evaluating our witness? What purpose is it for you in your life? Let's be specific. Let me be specific. How does it help you to evaluate your witness? Randy?
Personally, I don't think we're going to know how to evaluate our witness until we get to heaven.
I agree with you.
Okay.
I mean, something you said to someone even 5 years ago, 10 years ago, that had an impact, you don't know, you won't even remember. So, I mean, you know, it really... not important, other than if I need to look at myself on how I am with this.
Okay.
And what can I do to be a better witness? That's the only thing I need to evaluate.
So you're saying it's not the results we need to worry about evaluating?
Because the results aren't ours. It's the Holy Spirit.
Okay. What do the rest of you think?
I agree.
You agree with that, huh? So the evaluation part is not the results. The evaluation part is what we can do and are ourselves. Go ahead.
I agree, and yet there's a part of it that says there has to be some results in order for you to know whether you're doing what you're supposed to do.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just like if you are growing up as a child and the tendency now is that, you know, every kid on every team is or everybody gets a trophy.
Okay, that's an interesting dynamic.
You know, there's no scorekeeping, and that's not life. I mean, you know, the Texas Rangers win all the time, but they win 10-4, 3-0. Well, everybody didn't go high five the losers, and that's all. Well, we just had a really good 9 innings, and now let's go. We kept score. So, you know, at some point, you know, life is about assessing ourselves, but it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, in the way that's condemned.
So it's assessment without condemnation. What does that make sense to some of you? Can you assess without condemnation? Go ahead.
My grandson plays in Little League, and his coach, you know, when they lose, he's like, okay, you guys are better than this. You know, you may have had a good game on some level, but you're better than this, and you can, you know, you can do this.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it lets them know that they have, there is room for growth, but they still are good at what they do.
Still good at what they do. Go ahead.
We know that we are being evaluated.
Mm-hmm. We know that.
There is a book. There is a record being kept.
Are you talking about in heaven?
I'm talking about heaven.
Okay.
So this is setting a standard that there is something that has to be attained, something to be reached.
Okay, and what are we being evaluated on? Tell me what you think we're being evaluated on.
Our life.
Your life, our life.
The way we live our life.
Okay, so if we're vegetarian, if we're go on the right day, and
I'm talking about how you just scowled at that gas attendant.
Okay, so when I scowled at the gas attendant, that's
the thoughts that went through your mind that only he knew.
Okay, so when I scowled at the gas attendant, there was a check there, and I've got to have enough checks so I don't have the scowls, so I have more.
I'm not the one.
Okay, but that's your belief about what the record is. Is that correct?
The record will define whether I have eternal life or not.
Okay, and the record is about your behavior, right?
That's my whole life.
Well, that's your life, your behavior in this life.
I think she said attitude.
It's your attitude in this life. Okay, so the record is really a reflection of your attitude in this life. Okay, what are the rest of you thinking? Is there a record that keeping your attitude? Tell me what your belief is.
Let me say this. I was just going to say something prior to what you said.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering about what are we witnessing? I grew up in a very legalistic Seventh-day Adventist home. Very legalistic. Thank God. 5 years ago, I realized that my salvation is not based upon what I do. It's based upon Jesus Christ. And I found freedom. Secondly, I remember witnessing to people, my so-called mind witnessing, telling my co-workers, if you don't keep the Sabbath, you're going to go to hell. Because there was a minister that said, if you don't keep the Sabbath, you're hell bound. So when I look back at my witnessing, I had friends that were not Seventh-day Adventists, and they said, well, what's wrong with you? You think all because you're Seventh-day Adventist, you're going to be saved, and all the Catholics are going to go to hell? There's something wrong with your religion. And at that point, I said, you know, you will see the light. And today, it's a burden. It was worrisome. It was painful to know that I told my friends. And, you know, thank God, I can say, you know what, especially one person, I don't believe that way anymore. It's not that way. You know, so based upon I don't believe that God is in heaven keeping a record by my name. He didn't do this, but I can tell you today that I am saved. And the only way for falling out of salvation is if I do not believe in Christ. Because, you know, by believing, you are saved. I mean, it's simple. Pastor Kevin said it simple last week, that it gets very muddy when he said, why do I need to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we attach Sabbath, works, everything. So, record, I am, thank God, I am free from record, disc, or whatever it might be. And I am not going to condemn people that believe that way, because I know I was there. And I am still studying.
So you found the freedom in recognizing it's in accepting the gift that's been given to you.
Absolutely.
And I guess that's been a freeing for you and your experience in witness. Okay, go ahead.
There is a record, whether it's a book or a hard drive or whatever, but it's not being used, at least in my perspective, to judge a good list or bad list. It's really being used to judge the justness of Christ's decision. So if someone makes it to heaven and you don't think they should be there, then he could present the information to you and say, at this point is where he chose me. And you can go back and look at that and see that, yes, he did make the right decision by allowing this person. Because I know we all have people in our life that if we see them there, we would be very surprised. And you're going to want to know, how did this happen? And then he'll be able to show you the story, and you'll see how that person's heart has changed.
So for you, it's a revelation about, really,
we're not the one, we're a witness in a trial. We're not on trial.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is on trial.
Mm-hmm. God's on trial. That's right. Okay, we got a lot of hands here. Go ahead.
Well, one of the most impactful Sabbath schools that I can recall was probably a year ago, maybe a little bit more. But
oh, there's been a lot between that and then. Go ahead.
Rob was presenting, he was sharing about his brother on his deathbed. And he was talking specifically about being with him. And how this trouble, you know, he'd lived a very troubled life, and there was a lot of emotion that was going on at that time. And basically, the whole thrust of his message and presenting and sharing a very personal story was, in fact, his brother, I think he remembers his brother telling him something that, you know, he was dreaming or having, you know, visions, or restless, or struggling, and Rob said, "That's your Heavenly Father." And he basically acknowledged God in his life and Jesus, and he shared a moment of, you know, complete witness with his brother, spiritual awakening, a cleansing, and, you know, eventually he passed. And again, my details are vague, so some of you may remember it better than me, but it impacted me because our Heavenly Father wants every single living being to be with Him. And He is reaching out to us, even when we're not reaching out to Him. And that was more because in my life, as a young, you know, Christian, Seventh-day Adventist, raised boy, it was always about what I did. And getting there, getting good enough to be accepted was just part of the equation. And the light went in my head at that point more than ever in my life that God is seeking me. He follows me when I walk into a place I shouldn't be. You know, He follows me He's with me when I'm not eating the right foods, I'm not having the right thoughts. He's still with me. And it was really impactful that the fact that my life in eternity is based on my relationship with Jesus and my relationship with the Father, and not on what I do.
Okay.
You say attitude is important. Attitude is important because it is our witness. It's this is what I was. I met Jesus, and this is what I am now. Yeah, that's our witness to me.
So in that light, then it's always a matter of recognizing that in the checklist system. I'm not sure many of us would put David, as the minister was talking about this morning, in heaven. You look at some of the things. I mean, imagine the meeting between David and Nathan and David and Uriah in heaven. How's that going to be? Let's see. You were the one that told everyone to pull back. You were the one that slept with my wife. You were the one that assaulted her. You know, it's interesting to think about how these kinds of things are going to be worked through on a psychological level or whatever, spiritual level. You know, there's going to be some interesting dynamics occurring. And I guess that to me is a real witness about each one of us and how we live our lives. David was a man after God's own heart. Well, what did that mean? It meant he got it. He understood, I think, what you were saying, Marlene. He understood the relationship. And I think that's such a powerful thing to do, is to understand those things. I want to look in Matthew chapter 7. and verse 21. I'm reading here in the clear word. We're looking at the evaluation process. And it says, not all enter heaven. You see, not everyone who respects me necessarily loves me. That's an interesting thing. Not everyone who respects me necessarily loves me. They may call me Lord, but only those who do my Father's will enter the heaven. Now, where's the interpretation part there? Doing the Father's will. You start getting that, and you get all kinds of people deciding what God's will is. And I guess this is where I go back to what Kevin's talked about. What is God's will for us? That we should be with Him in eternity. Because I remember, as my brother was saying there, growing up as a Seventh-day Adventist and God's will, and God has a plan for my life. And it created anxiety. It didn't create a sense of excitement. It was an anxiety. Oh, what's that will? I got to make sure I meet that will. Instead of, what's going to create within me a new heart? What's going to put me in a place where I can really understand God's love for me? So it goes on here to say, many will even do great things like working miracles or casting out devils using my name. But when the day of judgment comes, I will tell them plainly, I don't recognize you. Separate yourself from me, for you have done evil and have not kept my commandments. I don't recognize you. That's an interesting idea. We've never been in a relationship. I don't recognize you. And to me, that's the essence of evaluating our own witnesses. Do we recognize God in our life? Do we recognize Him? And then I like it goes on and talks about the story that I grew up hearing as a kid, but it has so much more meaning to me now. The one who respect me and really loves me are the ones who do what I ask them to do. Okay. What does God ask us to do? To love Him? To love one another? I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me.
You know, I think about Noah.
Okay.
Kind of like what we're talking about. Here's Noah building this ark and everybody's looking at him like, man, what's wrong with you? For years.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What's wrong with you?
So, that verse there throw the self-evaluation away in the original way.
Say that again.
If that verse, the way it put there, it would throw away the self-evaluation and the personal evaluation. What I mean is, like, if you work in a company and somebody tells you, okay, next week we're going to have an evaluation, your attitude will change immediately, at least for that week, until that evaluation is made. Okay? And if you self-evaluate yourself, and then you cannot lie to yourself, you know who you are, and you cannot lie to yourself. So it is not those who say it, it is those who do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So evaluating.
And I guess that's probably the evaluation that to me makes sense as far as witnessing. It's recognizing who I am is going to be revealed in any way I am. I mean, it's not like we can say get away from this and not. It's going to be part of us. I want to go on and read this. The rest of this, it says, we couldn't find our envelope, so that's our offering. Okay. I love this analogy. There are the ones who do what I ask them to do. They are like the man who built his house on solid rock. The rains came, the streams rose, and the winds battered his house, but it stood firm. The ones who make a show of respect for me, who don't do what I ask them to, are like the man who built his house on sand. The rains came, The streams rose, and the winds battered his house, and it collapsed with a mighty crash. Now, what do you think of that? You all heard that story. If you've been a Seventh-day Adventist or even in church, probably. Go ahead. You were going to say something? I thought you had your hand up. Oh, it is. Okay. What do you think of that story?
Well, that's, I don't think it can make anything plainer, really, the way it's stated.
Okay.
I mean, when storms of life come, you can just stand because you know that you're doing what God wants you to do. And it's a storm that's just going to, it's going to pass, because you're doing what God wants you to do. And when you're not, you're just on this shifting sand and you're going to get swept away and, I mean, and again, I think about Noah. I mean, he was just building that ark. He knew what he had to do, and he didn't care if people thought he was nuts, Because he knew. I think that gets back to what we were saying over here. How do you evaluate whether somebody's, quote, winning or losing in their witnessing? That's something that's between them and God.
And I guess the evaluation to me is recognizing that life and events are going to be that which will help us understand our foundation. Go ahead.
I think for me, self-evaluation is important because I want to know what's happening to me. Uh-huh. If I don't smile at the gas station attendant, or if I'm struggling with various things, it kind of is a statement of my own acceptance of that, of being loved. Uh-huh. I think that's the purpose of it.
So the self-evaluation helps you to be clear what's going on with you.
I live my life, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I don't think that I do not know where my evolution is. About a month ago, my wife was traveling from Maryland to Arlington, and she was on her way to see our little kid in Kenya. I have two kids that I, one in Houston, my boy, and the other in San Antonio. So she communicated to them that I'm passing by your father's place and I'm going to Kenya to see your little sister. So they decided to meet her in Houston at the airport, and she met my son first, and my son gave her $300. He said, go see my sister. And when she passed by our place here on her way to Africa, she said, oh, I saw your son, and nowadays he looks exactly like you.
Oh, interesting.
Like when I met you and you were still young. Oh, I said, that's good. And she told me. Because he wouldn't benefit me if I hear he looks like somebody else. Okay. So she went to Africa. So I stayed wondering. Why, what that statement means to me. Was I proud? Is it evolution? Wish me or what? So every time I meet people, it has been taking a different meaning to me. Mm-hmm. And I shared with my friend here the first time. I said, did you hear what my wife said? That my son, nowadays, of late, looks like me. Then when we look at the good news, we've been wondering, who do we look like?
Yes, true. I say,
for all these years I've been Adventist, who do I look like? Mm-hmm. Do I witness to people? Of who? I think God has no problem as we grow as children, but ultimately as we mature as Christians, at least we should look like someone.
Absolutely.
So it came to me that I could not condemn my... She could not say anything when the kid was still young, but as the kid matures up to be a man, she can now confess, my goodness, this boy looks exactly like you.
Yeah.
And that took a toll on my character. And I don't have to evaluate myself and say I don't know how I am.
But if I know who my father is,
yeah,
who my child is, who do I look like?
Absolutely.
Because I remember very well that when Christ was being marched into the judgment and people, disciples followed him, Peter followed from a distance. But when they found him sitting with people, it didn't take them a surprise to find whom he belongs to. They say, if your accent does what? Betrays you. You're like one of them, you speak like them. So when we say about witnessing here, it might not just be taking our Bibles and walking out, but what do, how do we look like every day in our lives?
Absolutely.
Where we work or whatever. So I think it's a very diverse way, even though it teaches us a lot of things, but it is a lifetime activity that Christians
Yeah, and I think that, I love that thing, who do we look like? Because that gets back to the relationship that we have with God as our personal Savior, with Jesus Christ who came to reveal His Father. And I think when we think about our evaluation of our witness, it's really about just what you said, who do we look like? And you know, Jesus came during the most during the most religious time period of the earth's history, and he didn't look like he was supposed to look in their minds. Therefore, they killed him. So I think many times it's important to realize things may not look just like we think they should according to our evaluation, but it's who are we going to look like and how are we going to respond in a way that creates the recognition that there is a Savior. I think each one of us have that. And I think that evaluation is such a personal thing that to me, even to try to dissect it can become problematic. And it's not problematic in the sense that it's not important to have it. It's not important. I appreciate what you shared about the records and you as a teacher. How do we look at the thing to see a progression? But that is a progression of development of ourselves, a progression of helping to manage a disease versus a statement of, okay, I'm this now, I'm this now, I'm this now. I always remember as a kid thinking, when I finish the fourth grade, I'll be able to read anything. And then when I got a little older, when I get, going to college and get this, and then it was when I get my PhD. Those things are just things that we put up as milestones. But it's the continual development of ourself that really is what I think we all are in the process. And you know, the storms of life are there. The things that are going to shake, the things, we don't have to worry about that. What I want to do is make sure what I know my foundation is on, and that's a relationship with Jesus Christ as a personal Savior so that I can handle what happens. Shall we pray? Dear God, we're so grateful we can get together today and share and talk about ideas of understanding how to have an evaluation of ourselves. We know what your evaluation of us is, and that's it, that you love us and that you want us to be with you in eternity. We're so grateful for your love and for your caring, and may we really develop an understanding of what that is and how that will free us in life. Because that's really what you came to do by sending your Son, is to create a freedom so we can experience the true love that you do have for us. May each one of us have a wonderful Sabbath. In Jesus' name, amen.